Hi, and welcome to the podcast Invest in You, episode 117. Today we've got a very special guest, Andrew Priestley, and we are quite familiar with the family Priestley since before. But before we go into that, I know Andrew because he is the father of Dan Priestley, who's been on this podcast before. He is a very experienced businessman, mentor, author, and the list goes on and on and on.
Yeah, welcome to the podcast. Is everything good in the UK? I'm assuming you're there.
I am indeed. And listen, thank you for having me on your podcast for a start off. I mean, really, 117, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, consistency. That is
very, that's very, very good. Yeah. Who came up with it?
It was kind of together. We discussed it because we met some other podcasts out in Bali many years ago.
Yeah.
So we started off, the first thing was called Junior MBA on Facebook. What was that all about?
That was about teaching like-minded people like me and Ivan, same age, about entrepreneurship, basically.
Yeah, but we noticed, generally, even if we had many thousands of followers on that group, I think we had 7,000 followers, that they were not really engaging so much. They wanted to be spoon-fed, but they didn't engage that much. And also the audience with younger people, it, don't really find Facebook as attractive as myself might do, for example.
It's so funny about that.
We pivoted and we now focus mainly on the podcasting, and they got other things which relates to YouTubing. But yeah, back to you.
What do you do?
Yes.
What do I do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do business coaching. I started out in marketing and advertising, and I won several awards and built a good little team. And invariably, people would come and say, how did you do that? How did you do that? Let's have a coffee. And a friend of mine said, I think you'd make a good business coach. And I said, well, what's that? And they said, well, it's what you do, except you get well paid for it.
Yeah.
So I said, okay. But it was just like having chats with people and so forth. So I went back to university. And I did my industrial organizational psych degree, and I then started coaching business owners and leaders particularly. So today my company does executive coaching globally. I do that worldwide. And I have, on as my side hustle, I have a publishing company.
Yeah, yeah. And you also have other side hustles, including mentoring and helping others in so many different ways, which is
definitely
yet another reason why I love to have you on this podcast.
Fantastic. So Dad always talks about the power of why. Why do you do what you do? Why do you coach people, basically?
That's a great question. The honest answer to that is that when I first started in my first business, which was incredibly successful, right? Really, really successful. But it consumed every hour that God gave me. Mm-hmm. And so I would wake up thinking about it. I go through the day thinking about it. I go to bed thinking about it. I would dream about it. And after 6 months, I hated that business, right? And it consumed all of my thinking space. It impacted my family life, my marriage. And I thought, this is crazy, right? And so I then started making mistakes. And as a result of that, I then made the decision that I've got to change stuff, right? So I ran a newspaper, an entertainment newspaper, right? And I was at one point there in competition with Rupert Murdoch. So just so that you know, Rupert won, okay? I didn't win that one. He won that one. I had a phone call from a guy who said, we want to do some advertising with you. And this answers your question, but it gives you a story as well. He said, I want to do some advertising with you. Can you come in for a meeting at 2 o'clock at a nightclub, right? And I said, yeah, it was an entertainment newspaper. So I drove into the city. When I got there, nobody's there. So I rang him and he said, no, it's not 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It's 2 a.m. in the morning because it's a nightclub. So I went back home and I told my wife about it and she said, oh, you're an idiot. You know, this is money laundering, it's drugs, it's crime, it's nightclubs. Why are we getting messed up in that? Smoking, alcohol, all that sort of thing. And I said, I'm going to this thing. So I jump in the car. I had this big argument with her. I jump in the car And I had to cross this really long bridge, right? And it's late at night, 1 o'clock in the morning, I'm in the car. And you know that moment where you go, oh, I'm an idiot. What am I doing this for? This is crazy. I've got two little kids. So I turned the car around, right? Did a U-turn on this bridge. I'm heading back the other way. What about the money? There's a lot of money there. There's a lot. Turn the car around again. Back in the city. Yeah, but this is crazy. You're arguing with people you say you love. So I turned the car around and that way again, right? Well, yeah, but it's a lot of money. It's the biggest deal you've ever done, right? Eventually, I think I did 7 U-turns, right?
Yeah, and 7, 8, 4, 5, 6, 7. All right.
Yeah.
So you did head home instead.
Yeah, yeah. And I was so confused. It was a hot night. I got out of the car. My shirt is just dripping with sweat. My hands are wet and my heart's really racing. And I sat on the bonnet of the car, and you may not want to hear this, so I just wept.
Yeah.
For about 40 minutes. I was so confused about this whole money business thing, right? This answers your question.
Yeah.
And I decided, well, this is crazy. This is crazy. I'm going to go home. So after that, I shut that business down, right? And I thought, where are my values? So the reason I do it is, particularly the mentoring and the coaching, is because people think it's about the making the money, but it's actually the best entrepreneurs are really clear on their values, and the why is really clear on their intention. What is it you're trying to do? So you mentioned my son. You know, the purpose of his business is certainly to make a lot of money, but it's also to benefit other people. And when you're clear on that, then the business takes care of itself. So I've got a question for you. What's the goal of business?
I think you said it.
Let's take turns. Or do we don't make it simple, just pick his answer. So Charlie, can you try to think about what you figured out in Bali while we jump on this side, why you would like to do what we did?
What's the goal of business? The goal of business.
Yeah. I would say, of course, there's the benefits of making money and stuff, but that complements, you're providing value to make money. So basically, you grow yourself, you maybe grow your money, and you grow your knowledge, you work together with other people, and then you help others to grow. When you provide the money and the knowledge, you can help others basically. And that's in my opinion, how you should make money, by helping other people.
Yeah.
Great answer.
Providing as much valuable as possible to the right person at the right time.
Yeah.
And getting the right return for that.
Awesome. Yeah.
So he's 16 and he's 15, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, but you've got a collective age of 30, 36.
Yeah, it's easier in theory, though, than in practice.
Yeah. It's, again, for you try to really achieve any kind of business values by understanding the value of the customers as well as the company, the people within. Ultimately, there's some kind of owner to the business who also like to have their share. So, yeah, stakeholder management, really, on a high level.
So all of those answers are correct, but I'm going to make it really easy for people listening, right? So this is for you listening in, okay? I'm talking to you people at home now, right, listening on this, right? So you're listening. Shout it out if you're listening. I'm listening, right? The goal of business straight up and down is to make money.
Yep. That's it,
right? And if you're in doubt, if you're in the UK, ring up HMRC and say, hey, what's the goal of my business? They say, make money. Why? So that we can tax you.
Yep.
And if you get successful, we can tax them, etc. Right? That's the goal. But what people do is, the other side of it is the purpose of business. And people get those mixed up. So the goal of business is to make money, succeed, but the purpose is what you're talking about. Go to the values, deliver value to people, change people's lives. They're two separate things. So when I'm talking and mentoring entrepreneurs, we figure out the money stuff, because otherwise you don't have a business, right? But what drives it and drives the motivation is the purpose.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So again, for the sake of the audience, we have this podcast, Invest in You, for the purpose of helping others. We have been doing this for years. We have not really been monetizing this at all. No ads, not really focused on revenue. Like, yes, of course, we've got to trickle down things of good people coming to us, but we have not had a profit purpose of this podcast yet. But we are building a following. We are doing this so that Ivan and Sean can build their own personal brands, so that they in turn later in life can turn on the money tap.
Yep.
So how would you as a coach and mentor react to that statement?
Are you allergic to money?
No, not at all. I like money. And we have invested some money, obviously, to get this going and keep going, obviously.
Yeah, it's a facetious comment, but the podcast that you've got, I mean, if you've hung out with Dan, you understand. Has Dan explained things like his ascending transaction model? Has he explained that to you, the ascending transaction model?
Please explain for the boys in particular.
Well, I don't want to take anything away from Dan, but
please share his ideas.
Okay,
you can all find his books as well online, obviously.
Yeah. So any business, right, if you think about it, this line down the bottom is your products.
Yep.
And this line up here is money. So ascending transaction means the value of this transaction is going up as you move people this way. Yep. So in this first area is free stuff of high value. So your podcast might be a free podcast. Right, you take them in on a journey. The next step is, okay, what have we got that's low cost that we could take them into, right? So and then out of that, what can we take them into that's core, and out of that, what can we take them into that is an extension of that, right? And so a lot of people in business, and this is just sort of business 101, if you like.
Yeah. While he's drawing that, I'll just take an example of how I have it applied though. So the podcast is like free things for people, and then we got like the cheaper bundle, which is like the book, for example, which people
that's
have
it, yeah.
The book.
So the book's the low cost,
and we have done entrepreneur events in London for younger people as well, a live event, which is like the third one, and one of my personal core ones, big tickets, is actually quite a few people have invested money through real estate and property into the hundreds of thousands, my company. So those are like the value chain for me. Please now, we put that.
So you just described that really, really well. So the free podcast, the book, maybe the core service, maybe the real estate investment. So most businesses work on this idea of money and volume, right? Yep. So if you're playing at this end where you've got a really low cost item, right? You've got to drive the volume up. Otherwise, because the cost of doing business, you want to make a profit in there as well, right? So you've got to get your volume up. So your job down this end is to learn how to market and drive traffic. That's basically what you're doing there, because you can't offer something at low price but have a low volume on it, right? And so you'll get things like a freemium model like WhatsApp or Clubhouse, which is free to join. And they get a lot of people, but then they're going to move them. I guarantee you they'll move them sideways into events and things like that, where you start paying for stuff, right? But what will happen is you'll get less people, but they'll start paying more money.
Yeah. Right? So what one of Ivan's ideas is to later build on his YouTube traffic and followers and people who appreciate what he's doing to do online personal training. Where would you put that on that one? Like box number three, right?
Yeah, probably somewhere along those lines.
Yeah, so something which might cost them a couple of £100 or something like that.
And then the next step, from your business perspective, would be like
one-to-one in Bali.
Yeah, how could you take that like time for money and expand it? Like that's what I'm thinking about right now.
Right. So if we go back to your podcast, and then we'll jump to this one, because I just want to button that one up and circle back on it, right? So with the podcast, the first question you want to ask yourself using this as your theory is, and you don't have to say this, but how many subscribers you got or how many listens have you got, right? And you need to quantify that, how many we've got there, right? So to give you an example, I have a friend of mine who has a Facebook group and it has 43,000 subscribers in it. Right? So that's people who he'll put a post out on Facebook generally and he'll say, come into my Facebook group because there's some treats and goodies that you're not going to get out on the general thing, but if you want all the good stuff, come into my group, subscribe. Yeah. So it gives them a really good reason to subscribe. So, for example, you might say, I'm only 16, but I'm a specialist in high performance health, right? Yeah. And here's my video. And you might do a 15-second video or a 20-second video. If you want to know what I'm really on about, join my group. And inside, you've got videos that go for 5 or 10 minutes, plus your handouts and stuff. So people get all the treats and goodies once they join the group. So you might have this general podcast, and then in part of the thing, you're saying we're running a special event for our listeners, and it's X amount of money, which so they get invited to come into a special thing like that, right? So the next thing is you've got all these people in your subscriber group, and then you might say, I'm going to run a club for this, and that now takes it into a particular focus group. I'm just using Facebook as an example of that.
Yes.
So as an example of that, my friend who has 43,000 subscribers has all these people. There's a lot of community. There's a lot of value. There's a lot of chatting going on there, lots of videos, lots of great content. And if you're doing videos, do loads of videos on your YouTube channel and put them inside the Facebook group, right? And then do a snippet and promote that outside the group and say, if you want to watch the whole thing, you've got to join the group. Come into a community, right? At that point, you can then say, I've got a particular course. It's going to run for 6 weeks, and it's an hour of each. So I'll give you an example. I had a friend of mine who's a singing coach, and he's doing face-to-face. And, of course, when COVID hit, he can't do face-to-face anymore, right? He says, what do I do now? He says, okay, what do most singers need? And he said, oh, they just need to breathe well. That's the secret to breathing. I said, and how do you do that? Well, he came up with 6 ideas around good breathing. I said, why don't we run a workshop, right, 6 hours of content on each one of those components. So he ran that, £49, right? The first course had 83 people in it. So you do the math on that, right? 50 quid, 83 people. It's about $5,000, right? Yeah. On the second one, there were 393 people.
Yep.
Right? See, so what happened was it had that viral thing. It was such a good course. It was a really good high-value course. So let's take the body. So you're in personal development or you're in personal training or
Yeah, really, like, I'm still kind of figuring it out, but basically, like, strength and conditioning, mainly based around athletes since I'm an athlete myself, but basically just anyone who wants to increase their physical performance.
Right. And what age would that person be?
Like, honestly, that can be pretty much any age.
Who would you love to work with?
I'd love to work with people around my age group because we probably connect better. So I would say late teenager to, you know, early 20s, somewhere around that range.
I got it. So let's say it's a male, 16 to 20.
Yeah.
Right. And you're going to do, if I work with you, what's it going to do? What am I going to get out of working with you?
Well, my original plan was to online coach people.
To get what result?
He's going to get, basically what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk.
What will he get? What's the end result, ideally?
End result is he maybe gets stronger. He maybe reaches a certain level of conditioning or reaches his physical goals. Basically.
So if we set it really simple, keep it really short and sweet, right? What does it do? What it does is personal training for 16 to 20-year-olds who want to get ripped.
Yeah.
Want to get in shape.
Yeah.
Great physique, 16 to 20, great physique, right? That's it. Really simple proposition, right? You get it?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's start with that as a proposition. Give me 6 ideas. If you want a great physique and you're 16 to 20, tell me one thing you got to do to get that.
Well, one thing would be...
And keep it really short. I just want it really punchy. One thing. Okay. What do you got to do?
How, like, good ways to start training. Like, okay, how to train, basically.
Start training. Another one.
And then diet would be another, like...
Another one.
It's a bit difficult to get up to 6, but I'm sure that...
No. Park that. Give me the 6. Okay. Don't even...
Recovery would be an important one as well.
Another one. Good one. Another one.
I don't know, like mistakes to
avoid. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You know. Come on. Come on.
Okay. Mistakes to avoid.
Mistakes. Another one.
How to progress your training programming as you get right. better.
And you got to talk about weight, surely. You got to talk about resistance work, surely.
Yeah.
Getting a training program that's right for you, right?
Cardio. Yeah, strength training and cardio. So,
right. Okay.
At the top, you have a lot.
So it looks like that, right? We've got six things, right? Each one of those could take you an hour. You could do a six workshop with six things, 6 hours, right?
I should do that, yeah.
Yeah, I think you could. The light bulb just went on. Look at that. He's seeing the money. There it is, right? Yeah. See? So firstly, you could say, look, it's start training. See, it's the opposite is what are the dumb mistakes that people make, right? You got to get your training regime worked out. What's the dumb mistake? You start just lifting weights. There's no plan to it. Get it?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you got to think about what could they do, but what would dumb mistake? Now, I've got a course, a six-week course right there. Each one of those takes an hour. You jump on, you do a little video, and you say, I'm going to do a personal training thing. You're not going to believe this. I'm 16. Right? You are not going to believe this. You're going to say, this is crazy. What can a 16-year-old teach you about getting the physique that you really want? Well, tell you what, I'm here to tell you that I can do that for you, right?
Yep.
I'm going to take you on my course, jump into my group, or sign below, right? And it's 6 hours, six things. It's just going to change your life in 6 hours, right? Over 6 weeks. But you've got to be 16 to 20. If you're not 16 to 20, can't join. So your buddy over on the left there, sorry, Bell, you miss out by a year. Just wait another year and then you can join, all right? When you turn 16, you can join it. Get it?
Yeah. Right?
Or if you're 15 to 20, and it doesn't matter as a first test. It doesn't have to be the perfect thing. Just try it out and think, what could I talk about in 1 hour? And give them some tips. Right?
Yeah. That supersedes perform as well now when you help them.
Yeah. So then they're getting this. So they're getting this high value. So you get to about week number four and people are loving it, right? You say, you know, because it's going so well, right? We're going to do a bonus session 7.
So
and when you get to week,
this
and
is
when
like,
you get to.
Now they're getting like the extra, like.
Bonus only, yeah.
Yeah. They're getting the perception of like
extra delivery.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like mining for copper, but you find gold.
So anyone who's watching this, just look at the faces, look at the body language, look at them lighting up, right? You see, the value is coming out and the business is coming out, right? You just got to look at the body language. You can see that straight away, right?
Yeah.
So you might say when you get to week 5, I love it so much, we're going to put another bonus session in. You're not going to want to miss this. So now what you're doing, so you think you're trying to sell something, you're trying to develop a relationship where you spend time with people. And you can do Q&A. And you can not only do the 1 hour session, but you say, I'm also going to run a 15-minute Q&A this week as well. So any questions you've got, you can jump on that Zoom call and ask me any questions. Right, so your session doesn't get taken up with Q&A. It gives them another reason to come back and hang out with you and spend time with you, right? And you've got to post photos before and after or not, or you've got to leave a video testimonial, or you've got to tell me what you've been up to, or you've got to submit your diary. I don't care what it is, but you've got to tell me what you've been, what are you taking from this, right? So as an example, somebody asked me, for executive health, right? This is crazy. You cannot show anybody. This is just for you guys, right? So,
we won't tell anyone.
So if you're seeing this, what I'm about to show is for these three guys. So you're not allowed to look at this, right?
Don't tell right? the podcast.
So here's my little journals. Okay. I put all my ideas in, right? Okay. And I thought, what are six things that would change somebody's life for a week if they had a 7-day sprint where they did this just for 7 days, no more than this, right? Just that I know, right? Because, Frederick, you'll understand this. There's a time you get to where health becomes a premium.
Yep.
You can't be, energy-wise, you can't be knocking on an empty tank. When you're young fellas, you've got energy to burn. But when you get a little bit older, energy, managing your energy becomes super, super important, particularly if you've got big bases to hit. Right. So in a sense, a 16-year-old could actually teach a 40-year-old how to manage their energy a lot better. You just got to have that confidence. I know what I'm doing. Forget your age. So when Dan was young, he said, Dad, who's going to listen to me? I'm only 17. I said, that's the reason they will listen to you. You got to flip that around, right? So this is how dumb it is. There's my little diagram that I drew. And number one, you want the tips?
Yeah, I just like to intervene there and jump in. Just think about like how your brain works. He showed me a whole two pages full of notes. And the only thing that stood out to me right away said, no sugar. Now I'll give the word baton back to you, Andrew.
Yeah. So number one for me was no sugar.
Yeah. And that was random. I picked that out, obviously.
Yeah. So number one for me was no sugar, right? Because particularly as you get older, sugar and caffeine creates inflammation, which creates stress. So you then coast on adrenaline, right? So the second one was no caffeine, no tea, no coffee, nothing for a week, just whatever. Three, no dairy.
Yep.
Right? Four, sleep 8 hours, which means for most people you've got to turn the devices off at least an hour and a half, 90 minutes before you go to sleep. You can't be on that and then try and think you're going to get a good night's sleep, right? Mm. But you've got to try and rack up about 8 hours of sleep. Number five is intermittent fasting. So for me, if I eat at 7 o'clock at night, I don't eat another meal until, say, 7:30 the next day. So there's 12 hours between meals, right? And then the last one for me is sunlight. Get out and get some vitamin D and things like that. Now, that doesn't sound much, but if you do that for 7 days, people say they start losing weight, they start getting more energy. So in the same way, it doesn't have to be sexy. It just has to give them a takeaway tip. So my number one tip, you know, you've got these six big ideas with a takeaway tip. Go try it. Go try that one tip for a week and then come back and tell me what happened, right?
Yeah.
Right, stop there. You getting some ideas?
Simple and great. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, we're pausing that for a second. You're more than welcome to chip in with more ideas to follow the flow of that one. Can you see now how questions unlocks answers for yourself?
Yeah.
Now his question's like, all right, now I can see.
Yeah, I can notice that you're a coach.
Yeah.
So you're like, you're like pulling all the strings for me.
So on that note, I got a question for you, Andrew.
Yeah, sure.
How and can you foster an entrepreneurial mind? We both have tried to help other people.
That's a really, really interesting question because not everyone's up for it. Look, honestly, you don't have to be an entrepreneur. There are some people, you know, they're best suited. Go get a job. Go work for somebody, right?
Yeah.
But understand this, right? A lot's changed in 50 years. A lot's changed. And you're 15 and 16 and you haven't got that context. But, you know, I'm thinking back when I first started work, when you got a job, you're in that job for life, right? You do 40 years in that job. That doesn't happen anymore, right? So most people, they're entrepreneurs in a sense that they work for somebody, but technically they've just got one customer and it's their boss, right? But if they do a bad job, their customer will fire them. Get it? So there's a little bit of entrepreneurial thing. Most people say, oh, no, I work for a company. No, you actually work for yourself, but you've just got one customer and it's the company you work for. That's who your customer is, right? Mm. Entrepreneurs tend to want to, I was in a government job, a very secure government job. And I was a school teacher for 10 years. And I left that with solid tenure, a great pension, all the things that you want, a lot of security. And I left that to be an entrepreneur because my value was around creating value. I wanted to create a lot more value than I was able to do in a government job, which is why I left it, right? Did I make mistakes? Terrible mistakes. My first business was incredibly successful, nearly killed me. So I learned to build a business around family values rather than around money. And that's a hard one for most people, get it? But for those people saying, am I an entrepreneur? You may not be an entrepreneur at the moment. And if you're thinking, oh, should I do it? Do a side hustle. Test something on the side, small and conservative on the side. So the idea I just threw out about 10 minutes ago, this idea, could just be a little side hustle. It's 6 hours out of your life. And you're getting to play with things like Facebook and expressing your value and putting a little video and giving you a link to here's how you join it. you know, you could set that up on Eventbrite.
Yep.
And the link goes to Eventbrite. You join in, you pay your money. Eventbrite takes a little clip and you see, and you do, oh, only three people turned up. Do it anyway, because you'll learn so much by doing it, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And then repeat it and you might get 300 people the next time.
Yeah.
I'll give you a crazy idea here, right? This is crazy. And I'm going to throw out £250,000 idea right now.
Right?
So if you implement this idea, send me a check for what it's worth. Right?
His beard.
See, let's take this up a notch. Let's say you get really cool at this and you say, you know what? I've got 12 big ideas about getting ripped. See the focus. It's for 15 to 20s, so we can include your brother. 15 to 20s, right? But it's big ideas are going to change your life, and there's 12 of them. I'm going to do it once a month for 2 hours. It's a two-hour workshop every month for 12 months, right? And it's going to cost you $97 a month. Honest to God, if you cannot get $97 worth of value out of a two-hour seminar, you know, check for pulse in most people's cases, right? Okay. And let's say that on Zoom, you say, right, what I'm going to do is I'm going to market this so I get 200 people on this call. So do the math on that. 97 times 200 times 12. Yeah. That's $235,000, right? So you've got to say, the entrepreneur goes, it's the mindset of the entrepreneur is I can create massive value as the first thing for people, because I know who my market is, I know what they want, I know the problem they're trying to get solved here. So if you said it's, I don't know your name, I'm sorry.
Ivan.
I wish that I'd had someone like yourself when I was 16 to 20, because I was doing crazy, stupid stuff when I was 16. Right? I'm out with my mates drinking, I'm doing all the wrong stuff, right? And I thought, don't need to worry about my health or anything like that. I wish I'd gotten into bodybuilding when I was 16 to 20. I wish I'd taken on a sport. I was a really good cross-country runner. I was a really good athlete. I was a natural with ball games like cricket and football, a natural swimmer. I was a really good swimmer. Just didn't value it enough, right? Importantly, you know, I just know the difference between a skinny guy and a guy that's got a bit of bulk, right, around the girls. The girls just love guys that look in shape. And I know this particularly, Frederick. You know, Frederick, I was at an event where there was a guy who was a success coach in 50s, right, and did not look the business.
I know what you mean.
You got it? Out of shape, overweight, out of shape. Tired, looks exhausted, right? No energy. And he's trying to sell me on being successful, right? And last year, 12 months ago, I looked at photos of me in an event. I said, oh my God, I look like a walking dead man, right? So I thought, I'm going to try and fix that. So I really, really got into, I started running again. I started working out again. I started doing all of that. I had an injury about 3 months ago and it had to stop. Okay. But as soon as that injury is recuperated, I'm going to go get back into it, because the difference when I went on stage a year later opposed to the year before was just palpable. People looked at me, oh my God, this guy looks the business, right? I reckon young people need to learn that a lot sooner, particularly young men, right, to really, really look after their health. And I'm working with companies at the moment where young guys don't want to do drugs and crazy things like that. They're thinking about their health. They want to go for a run at lunchtime. Well, they want to go work out in the gym at lunchtime. Yep. They want to go and do cooking classes at lunchtime. And so that's a big gear change. And you're right on the tip of that. You get it? See, entrepreneurs go, I can leverage that. So the ingredient is you got to believe it, Ivan. You got to go, have I got something of value? So I'm going to ask you, Ivan, I'm going to put you on the bat where it's all about Ivan at the moment, right?
Yeah.
Are you any good at what you do?
Yeah.
End of. So, Ivan, stop having that conversation in your head. Yeah, well, that's what entrepreneurs do. They just take it to the bank.
Yeah, so Ivan's been really good. So he's been posting his whole journey. So he's got like 165 videos on YouTube, but he consciously says, but I will not market this. So he says, like, is that for a track record? But there's no reason why he wouldn't start to pull people there.
So
getting increasing subscribers, which he really likes.
Yeah. So Ivan, if there's no reason, just do it. If there's no reason, just do it.
Yeah. So how he should know this, but how can he increase the number of followers on YouTube 101?
By being of value. By firstly, it's you've got to figure out what is your sweet spot for you personally. And you know, Dan talks about what he loves. I love talking about what I love, right? I wrote a book called Starting, and this is anyone in entrepreneurs, because it goes back to, you know, we'll do an age test here. 2008, Ivan, you were seven? No, you were nine.
Four. I'm born 2004.
Yeah, so four, yeah.
Before, right? So you've got the global financial crisis, right? So the Lord Mayor of London runs an event for people about how to make their businesses work, etc., right? And the message was, and Frederick, you'll laugh at this, the message was you've got to have a business plan, right? And so here's the thing was, I did the research into business plans, right? People without a business plan was 80% failure rate, right? People with a business plan was 73% failure rate. Yeah. So the question was, if having a business plan worked, why is the failure rate of business so high? Because a business plan is linear, yeah, and it has assumptions that don't get tested. So this book here is about how to stress test the assumptions in your business plan, right? Mm-hmm. And it sounds really dry, but it just works. It gives you eight key questions you need to ask about your business. And if you actually think about them, you find your sweet spot. You find, okay, here's what I really want to say. Here's the message I've got to the world, right? So my singing coach, his one message was, learn how to breathe. That's it. What's your message?
Yeah, I think that's the one you really need to figure out there.
Off your gut. What's your gut say? Straight up. What's your message to the world right now? Quick.
My message.
Yeah. It's the thing that's going to change your life. What is it? If you want to get in shape.
Okay. Invest in yourself.
Invest in yourself now, sooner. Invest in yourself sooner. There's the message. Invest in yourself sooner. Start sooner. Start now. Start sooner, right? I'm 16. I'm 16. You are going to go nuts. It's going to drive you nuts, folks, that I'm 16 and I'm telling you to get off your freaking pat and start sooner. Get started, right? Start doing it, because you know the body is so responsive.
Yeah, it is.
As soon as you start doing stuff, it your body just loves that. It gets into shape really, really, really quickly, right? It G's up because when you start moving, you change hormones that start activating everything, right? Get it?
Yeah.
Why can't that be your message?
Could be my message.
Yeah. So start making content. Just making content. That's your big message, right? So Dan's big message was, you know, add value to people's lives, become an entrepreneur and add value. He believes firmly that businesses will solve the world's problems, not governments.
Yeah.
Right. So it's business people who are changing things, right? So he says, and my thing is the world needs good leaders. That's my whole thing. That's why I do leadership mentoring. Yeah. We need good leaders. We need people who've got clear values right now.
Mm.
Right. Who are thinking a lot longer term than just next week, right? So I've got grandchildren. I'm thinking, what's the world going to be like for my grandchildren, right?
No, that's a very good point as well. I mean, the things we value today and the things that we used to value just a couple of decades ago are so different. Things are changing so fast. And surely is doing a project right now about, like, what does it take to move into space, etc. And yeah, why not?
Hey, now the guy on the right, I forgot your name.
Charlie.
How do you spell it?
Charlie.
Oh, Charlie, right. Charlie, what do you want to do, man?
That is a good question. I would say I'm pretty...
And Charlie, you won't get this wrong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of...
Actually, better question for you, Charlie. What's one thing you'd like to do? You could have any, you could do 50, but what's one thing?
One thing I'd like to do is working with something technical. I think engineering, stuff like that, is really interesting. So maybe just having an advanced job, maybe working at NASA, becoming an astronaut. I have no idea. It doesn't
have... So Charlie, let me stop you there. Get rid of words like no idea. Get rid of words like I've got no idea. You have got the idea, right? So you just got to get rid of it. Think of it like the brain. The brain works is I want to go that way and I think I'll walk that way. So you say, I want to be an astronaut, but I've got no idea. See what you just did there? So you got to say, I want to be an astronaut. Head in that direction. So otherwise you're doing what I did, round and round and round and round and round and round, getting confused, right? Just go, I want to be an astronaut. I want to be an astronaut. I don't know whether you're going to be an astronaut or not, but let's find out.
Yep.
I don't know what the future is going to hold, but let's find out, right? Yep. Now, it might be you say you ring up NASA tomorrow and say, I want to be an astronaut. And they tell you, and they say, come to kids camp. Come to kids camp. Write to NASA and say, I want to be an astronaut.
Yep.
Or watch Billy Elliot on repeat hundreds of times until you get it. I want to be a dancer.
Yep.
Get it? Just watch that movie. That's the story of that is stay on track, stay in lanes. What go the distance? If you want to be an astronaut and you're serious about it, ask them. Tell them, I want to be an astronaut. How do I do that? I'm 15.
Yep.
I want to be a poster boy for NASA in the UK and Sweden.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
You get it?
Yeah. And I just shared some news with him the other day that Europe will now start to have their own astronauts again for the first time in more than a decade. They will start to take in some people. So, yeah. And
so put it out there, mate.
How can NASA and an organization like that know how the body reacts when you're younger, unless you actually send younger people out there as well?
Exactly.
Pitch the idea.
Yeah. All right to Elon Musk and say, I want to be an astronaut.
Yeah, exactly.
Just do your desk search. You know, my grandma used to say to me, she used to cook cakes, you know, and she would cook rock buns and biscuits and she'd put them on the tray and you come home from school and you walk in the back door and you smell these cakes, right? And you'd be drooling. You're going, oh, I've got to have some of those Yumbo, you know. And you'd be looking. You'd be like this, looking at them, right? And she'd say, Andrew, if you don't ask, the answer's always
no.
If you don't ask, Charlie, the answer's always going to be no. Same with you, Ivan. If you don't ask, the answer will be no. If you don't say, hey, I'm running this thing 6 weeks, 6 weeks, you're going to love it. I'm a kid, for God's sake. Show up.
Yep.
Let me show you what a 16-year-old can show you.
Yep. I think I just, like, kind of figured out my, like, revised my message a bit, like, either it's going to be like getting strong or it's getting fit will change your life. Because it will. Because it really gives you direction and it gives you energy to do other things.
Yeah.
And even it in itself will improve your life. Like it will improve the way you feel and it will improve the way you look. And I mean, it will improve your energy.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, you can also do something like, and this I'll throw this at you. If you did something like physique for good.
Yeah.
Right? Physique for good. So when you do a training thing, right, you get people to sponsor you and it's a charity and then money goes to a charity because there's a lot of kids who are sick who can't do that. It might be for childhood cancer, but it's physique for good. It's a challenge. It's a six-month or three-month challenge for young people, right? And so you balance out that thing about when you, I hate to say this, as soon as you start to look ripped, the ego goes through the roof.
Yeah.
Right?
Because we started a few years ago where the Entrepreneur for Good is on our first logo from Junior.
That's it.
And they have been working with B1G1 as well. So,
and Paul Dunn, great example of that. Yep. Yeah. Bill Gates is, you know, Bill Gates gets a lot of stick, but I remember him giving a speech once which said, if you do well, do good.
Yeah.
If you do well, do good, right? And you know, in the spirit of a good book here, So this is for you guys, right? Charlie and Ivan. A good book for you guys to read is a book called Grit.
Yep.
Okay. And it's about direction and determination. And those are two variables that drive entrepreneurs. Where are you going? Do you want to get there? So where are you going with this bodybuilding thing? Do you want to get there? Where are you going? NASA? Do you want to get there or not?
I want to.
See? Yeah. So you might know where you want to go, but you lack the direction, you won't get there. You might have determination, but you don't know where you're going. So you need those two things. So there's a lot of science behind that particular book. But if I can recommend this for anybody watching this, this is the book that balances out just about anything about entrepreneurial success. How will you measure your life? It was written by Clayton Christensen, and Clayton is this guy here, right? And he was a professor at Harvard. And unfortunately, he got cancer, and he wrote this before he passed away. Well, he didn't write it after he passed away, but he wrote this before he passed away. And it's like it was really his deep thinking on what actually makes success. And he flagged up the Yale University's course called The Science of Wellbeing, which is the most successful course on the planet, free course on the planet. It's called The Science of Wellbeing from Yale University. It's a 12-week program. If you watch it, you guys, you'll get so many ideas about where your head's at, where your heart is, where your head's at, right? But this is a wonderful book for any entrepreneur watching this, right?
Yep.
How do you measure your life? I should have royalties in this, but because I talk about it, it's such a good book. It's not as good as my book.
But still.
The starting one.
But it's pretty good, yeah.
Right. So you have shared so many ideas around mentoring, etc. How can you really explain the power of mentoring to someone who's not really had the experience of it together with the challenge of sometimes mentoring can be painful?
Yes. So I'll give you this little diagram and see if I can help you. This might explain a lot of stuff, right? And I hope you can read my writing. This isn't my work. I wish it was. It's such a great theory, but it's by a guy called Robert Diltz, D-I-L-T-S, right, who worked this out. But I love his ideas because he explained this so well, and it explains how – I'll give you the setup for this. The world comes at you through your senses. That's the only way you can interpret what's happening, through your senses, the five senses, your sight, your sound, seeing, hearing, touch, taste, smell, right? Of which humans, it's mainly sight, sound, feeling, right? Okay. Unless you're a dog, you know, you want to smell the world or hear the world, but, you know, taste the world. But most humans, that's the way they do it, right? Once that input is in there, you've then got a neurologically, and remember, I'm a scientist. My background is psychology, right? You've got to then make sense of the world. And so when something comes in, you say, okay, what's happening and where am I? How am I reacting to the world, right? So most people, if you look at what's happening with COVID right now, when you listen to them, they talk about, oh, things are really bad and it's blah, 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 blah. So they're totally at the mercy of their environment.
Yep.
And they say, if COVID finishes and if this changes and that just, then I will be okay. Yep. So the environment is totally dominating them. So it'll look like I'm only 16. What would I know? That's an environmental thing, right? Up from that is the behaviors. So this is about, you know, when do I see this happening? Behaviors is about what do I see happening? So the key question here is about what. What behaviors would I see you doing? And when you're trying to change someone's performance or behavior, right, that's when you need a coach, because a coach watches what you're doing and then tweaks your behavior. So if you're doing reps or sit-ups or push-ups or lifting a bar, you can tweak their performance, right? Okay. Up from that is skill, which is if somebody says, how do I do this, how do that, they're trying to acquire skill. Right. And if you like, someone who wants to learn a skill, really needs a trainer, someone to train them. So teaching or training is all about skill development.
Yep.
Where you're trying to learn how to do something. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Up from that is beliefs. Why do you want to do it? You ask me, why do you do it? As soon as you do that, you're tapping into my beliefs, right? And really, that's where mentorship turns up. Mentorship is about changing your mindset and your beliefs about things, right? So a mentor who's teaching you skill development is not really, they're really training or coaching. They're not really mentoring you. Whereas I mentor leaders. I really challenge them, like I've been trying to challenge you guys today on your mindset around stuff, right?
Yeah.
Up from that is who, and that's your identity.
Yeah.
Right? And you need a guide for that.
Yeah, and I also really like that, like, things you say to yourself, I am a runner. It's an example of you exemplifying and telling yourself.
That's an identity statement, I'm a runner. Yeah, yeah. If you say, I'm only 16, I can't succeed because I'm only 16, what would you have to believe to say that? I'm only 16. What would you have to believe? Go down the ladder. What would you have to believe to say that statement about your identity?
You mean that, like,
that's your only, like, attribute that you're 16, basically?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You have to say, well, I've got to wait till I'm 17 or 18 or 20 or 40 before I can succeed, right? The belief is I can't succeed.
Yeah.
Right? And so this word can't lives in the belief section. When you say you can't do something, can't is a permission verb. It allows me to do or not do something. So when someone says, I can't do that, they're really talking about their beliefs.
Yeah. And we have used the expression as well, like self-talk, things you do tell yourself. Very much use that as well.
Yeah, yeah. And self-talk's real, right?
Yeah.
So self-talk, this is an interesting thing. There's two things about self-talk. Number one is there's the content of the self-talk. So if you do cognitive behavior therapy, it says, listen to the content and dispute it. Oh, I'm only 16. Well, is that true? Well, yeah, but is it true you can't? No. See, you're disputing the content, right? A faster way for high performance is the self-talk also has a volume to it, right? You know when you're watching, have you seen the movie Jaws? Remember the movie Jaws?
I haven't watched it. I'm guessing I'm going to talk about the music. I haven't seen
it. So, Frederick, you've seen Jaws, right?
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun,
dun,
take away the soundtrack.
Yeah, exactly.
Not as scary, right?
Yeah, they like scary movies, but turn off the audio. And
it's gone, right? And people got scary movies, soundtrack movies. So self-talk is a soundtrack that is too loud. So you just grab your remote. You know how you turn the TV down with a remote control? Well, in your mind, just operate the remote. Oh, that self-doubt is pretty loud. Just turn the sound down on it.
Yeah.
Or hit mute.
I like it. Perfect. Good point.
The last one is intention. And this is why I'm doing it. It's a lot bigger than yourself. So, for example, Dan's business, Dent, the intention is a lot bigger than just making money. It's making a dent in the world. My business is about changing people's lives through good leadership.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Because I want to see we need good leaders right now, right? So this is a really useful thing here because if somebody says, I'm really anxious. You know, when I go out there, I'm really anxious. I can't do that. I don't know how to meditate. They've covered everything here. I am really anxious. There's the identity statement. I don't know how to meditate. There's the skill. Rubbish at work. There's the environmental thing.
Yeah.
Now, what most people are trying to do when they're trying to coach and train people is they're trying to change the environment by changing behaviors and skills.
Yeah.
That's really what's going on with a lot of stuff, right? Which is pretty hard work because you're trying to change your environment, right? But in actual fact, if you want change to lock in and really, you start with the intention, change your identity and change your beliefs, and that fuels the drive for your skills, your behavior, and your results.
Yeah, it's tricky to start with. Again, a good peer group can really help you to change your environment.
Oh, totally, totally.
But if you
totally.
Do start from the other side, like you rightly said, with the intention, the right people start to come to you.
Oh, totally, totally, yeah. And you know, I want to be an astronaut. There's the intention. Why do you want to be an astronaut?
See? It's cool.
Adventure.
Yeah. Adventure, if I was you.
Yeah, of course.
It's part of my interests. I'm pretty sure it is. I'm pretty sure it is.
Yeah, but Charlie, you know, like I want to be, adventure sounds a really good part of it, right? I love that it's the intersection of science and adventure. You know, I want the world to change through science and adventure, right? But you notice I want the world to change for the better through science and adventure. You're not going to solve all the problems, but science and adventure is where you intersect.
Yeah.
You get it? And that's what changes the world.
Two good keywords that very much is very much important to your persona as well. So
Yeah. So you got to rev that belief up. Yeah, you know what? And if you want to be an astronaut, I don't know whether you can, but let's find out. Let's see if we can.
Yeah.
So on the note of science and many other things, the practical normal school system, they're very much living it. They're very much discussing with themselves. And
look at the body language.
For example, a higher education versus doing and its role. We both had and helped mentor and coach many people with and without education. Just a few ideas about traditional schooling, good and bad.
Yep. Schooling per se, education per se, brilliant. If you have the opportunity to go to school and pass. Study hard and pass.
Three in Sweden as well.
Yep. Okay. And here's the deal, right? Think about this. If you've got, it's a hard thing to put old head on young shoulders, right? But here's the deal. If I could go back, I would have just studied. I would have done it because it's not hard to pass high school, honestly. And you can come out. It just changes everything. So lean into the work and do the work, right? Is a private school better than a public school? No, there's no difference because there are lazy people who fail in public schools as well as there are. And there are people who do. A lot of my mates went to just bog standard schools and did exceptionally well. Why? Because they applied themselves in that situation. I hate to say it, but I'm a big fan of qualifications. I'm a big fan of a formal qualification. I'm a scientist, okay? My qualification is in psychology, industrial organizational psychology. I'm working with people at the performance edge. I need to know what I'm saying. I need to say that when I open my mouth, what comes out of it has a pedigree, it has a background, it has substance to it. Because there's a lot of people got fancy ideas that have no theory. And I'll give an example in sales. If you talk to salespeople, right, and they say, da, 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 where did that idea come from? No idea. Most salespeople have no idea where their ideas came from.
Yeah.
And yet every idea that you have has a pedigree if you go looking. So I researched sales for 7 years, right, and I can tell you where most of the ideas came back. I can tell most salespeople, where did you get this idea? I know exactly where it came from.
Yeah.
Most salespeople don't know that. And yet, for example, AIDA, attention, interest, desire, and action, right? It was a newspaper term. It was a copywriter's thing. It had nothing to do with selling. It was about copywriting. And yet, because it worked in print, they took it into personal selling, right? That's where it came from.
Build on that. So one of the jobs I have had is to be in a specialist sales consultancy. I really loved it because I can work with the best people from all over the world and help them to refine. But at the same time, the original content that my MD had pulled together, since I've read a lot all over the years, including formal education, I could source all of his ideas, and I knew exactly where all of them came from, including the only book that I had not read where I had sourced stuff was Viktor Frankl's book.
Yeah.
I had already read and knew where it came from, which was a bit embarrassing. I never told him.
Yeah. But the point is that when you're talking, though, you've got context. You know where your ideas come from. So to answer your question about education, get a formal education.
Yep.
You know, I value formal education. What you do with your qualification, it's 3 years out of life, 4 years out of your life. It goes like that. And then it sets you up for life. It gives you, you know, it's an entree to get into most things. I've got the basic qualification. You can build on that then.
Yeah. Good. Excellent. Now we have yet another important experienced person shared his view on that topic, and especially for all the younger people listening in, that listen to the people who've been there and who would do things differently or the same once that opportunity come into your next life. Right.
Okay. Your LinkedIn profile mentions that you work as a non-executive director. That can mean many things of the director roles. Which one do you like the most? CFO, CEO, CMO,
or anything else? Which director thing do you like the most?
I like the CEO role.
Yep, me too.
I like the chairman role, CEO role. I like that. Because the difference is it's not the role, it's what you're doing inside your head. It's if you're caught up in operations and you're a CEO, you're in trouble, right? So CEO is a strategic role, so you've got to think strategically. I like thinking strategically.
Yeah, good.
Okay, this is a funny question.
It's a stupid fun question.
What's the question you want us to ask?
What's the question I want you to ask? What are you really passionate about?
So what are you really passionate about?
What am I passionate about? I'm passionate about the welfare of children.
Perfect.
That's what I'm passionate about. I was a school teacher. It's been something that's close to my heart. It's the psychology that I did, right? A lot of that is grounded in the welfare of vulnerable children. Yeah, it's something that's very passionate to my heart, right?
Yeah. Next generation is the future of mankind, basically.
Yeah, no pressure, Charlie.
Yeah, Charlie.
My next question is a podcast name. It's called Invest in You. What does that mean to you?
Invest in you. Well, I think what it means to me is, and a lot of people will miss that, you know, to get anywhere in life, you do have to invest, but you've got to understand what the word invest means, right? And for me, invest means deep dive, reflect, take time to think it through. Most people today won't think stuff through. So, you know, I threw out some ideas. About 20 minutes ago, I threw out $250,000 idea. Mm-hmm. I can guarantee you, right, every single person who watches this podcast, I gave you a recipe for $250,000. Whether you do it or not, tells me how much you want to invest in yourself, invest in you, right? It can also mean emotionally invest in yourself. So we've got Ivan over there who is thinking, I'm 16, but why not do what you're doing at 16? Charlie wants to go into space, wants to be an astronaut. Why not? You've got to invest in yourself. You've got to believe in yourself. That's invest in you. And I think a lot of people invest outwardly and they don't do the inner work. So invest in you really is do that deep inner work. Now, deep can mean just stop and think about stuff. Just do simple things. I've already shown you. I got notebooks. You know, and I make ideas. I journal stuff. I've journaled since 1972.
Yep.
I just have loads and loads of journals.
I like that as well. So they have got a journal each. They don't pick them up often enough, though. I remember when I was a young officer, we got a book. We were on a sailing ship. We were sailing from Gothenburg all over the ocean to Amsterdam.
Yeah.
And on a daily time, we had to record one thing we have learned. And just from that reflection and then what we thought about and how it might fit into everything else I knew since before. And there were other questions as well. But just this habit of active reflection upon the day, just as planning is very important, it's yet very rare.
Reflecting into yourself
and how can you apply it?
And also reflecting on the past, but also imagining the future pace as well. So a lot of my execs, I do future pacing. And if you're watching this, if you watch this back, you'll see I did a bit of future pacing with both Ivan and Charlie.
Pretty much one of the last questions we'll ask is favorite office. We almost always ask this to our guests. what has been your favorite office to work from?
Where I am right now, I love. Right, yep. It's small. It's the desk is tiny. It's in a little nook. I have a bed in the back there, but that comes from another house and somebody bought it, but they haven't picked it up yet. But this is a favorite office because over here I've got my piano, for example. I got my library, I got my piano, and this is a lovely sunny room. I like that, right? Right.
Yep.
My favorite office though was a big office that overlooked an expanse of water and a forest and stuff like that. So there was an interplay between nature. And I could, if I wanted to, I could kick away from the desk and I could just go outside and sit on the balcony and have a cup of tea or something like that. Some people need to check that they haven't got a chain on their ankle to their desk. You know, you need to push back. Ivan will tell you this. You've got to get up and move. Yeah. Do you know, Ivan, there's a whole fortune to be made in 40-plus men, right, that are overweight, out of shape, who've got chronic neck, shoulder, and back pain because this is all they do all day at a desk. They don't push back from a desk. They don't move.
Yeah, we very recently had a guest from South Africa who was in Mexico, and she taught us one simple stretching exercise when you're stuck by the table. Basically, just like that, lean to the wall, lean in, and you will stretch out your chest as you do
that. That's it.
Yeah, perfect. So people who like the idea of learning more about yourself. So we have not touched upon all the great books you have where people can find you online. So quick pitch for each age group, which kind of book at different stages that you have written yourself is now?
Yes. So. Firstly, The Money Chimp for young people. Learn, improve, I don't care whatever your age is, improve your relationship with money. Young people spend on average 130% of their take-home pay.
Yeah.
And they do that on credit cards, right? We have a situation where young people are heading into chronic debt because of credit cards, etc. Figure out your relationship with money. The Money Chimp is a great book for young people around money. And this is for people who should know better.
Yeah.
Right. Again, it goes in the principles of just how money works. And I've tried to make this as simple as I possibly can. Great book. Manage and multiply your money.
Exactly. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And
this is a book for any entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Did I mention I wrote a book? I told you I wrote a book, didn't I?
You've written quite a few. So, just check out Andrew online on Amazon. They will find all of it.
LinkedIn. Just go LinkedIn.
LinkedIn. Perfect. So, good. Right. So, we've covered quite a lot of ground. Super pleased that we could have some personal one-to-one hidden away from the world.
I've got a question for you guys before we wrap up, right? It's a round robin. Okay. Charlie, what did you get from today?
I'm more sure about what I want to be in the future. I'm more like, yes, I do want to become an astronaut and not like an astronaut or something, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, good stuff. What about you, Frederick? What did you get?
So one thing I got out of this, and before I even jump into that, when we did entrepreneur training for teenage people in London a couple of years ago with the three of us, actually one of the outcomes from coaching the people in the group, one of them actually wanted to become just an astronaut and not an entrepreneur at all. Yeah. Interesting, we had the same outcome here today almost. Yeah. So one thing I took away from today, I really appreciate that you shared your experience of further education, the power of having a little badge of those couple of years at university, for example. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. What about you, Ivan? What'd you get?
I don't remember what you called it, but the one where it was like a graph and then a bunch of slots under where like how you can monetize stuff and go.
Oh, the ascending transaction model. Yeah.
Yes. The ascending transaction model. I think that was interesting. And then also like what you were talking about, how to practically set up a course, six different parts and what you should do in each part. And basically how you can monetize stuff. Because like YouTube ads, for example, you've got to get thousands and thousands, actually tens of thousands of people watching a YouTube channel just off ad views to really make anything. So I think it's more practical to focus on that smaller percentage of your audience that's actually willing to
and as a comparison to some of your own calculation, how many one-to-one interactions you need to have to personal trainer online, if you compare that business model there versus the time to have many more.
Yeah,
but again, it links to the selling of the whole thing as well.
You know, Ivan, it doesn't have to be complicated. It really doesn't. It just have to give a little tip that somebody, I gave you five little tips. I wish they were my tips, but they're ones that I use, right?
Yep.
No sugar for a week. That's the tip. You don't know if it's going to work unless you try it. So in your case, you know enough about, I mean, look at you, you're ripped already. So, you know, you must be doing something right, right?
Yeah.
So take that to the bank and start now. And you know, Dan says, you know, prolific beats perfect. And there's a lot of people say, I'll do it once I've done this, this, and this, and this. Life's too short. Fail faster. Find out faster. Go in there. And for me, when I first started in the UK, it's really hard to come from Australia to this country because I think we all speak English. No, I spoke Australian. They speak English. Right? Didn't translate. It was culturally very, very different. But the first thing I did was I ran business clinics every week for free at my local pub. And sometimes one person turned up, sometimes three people turned up, sometimes 27 people turned up, sometimes 100 people turned up, sometimes one person turned up. And I would go, the other place I went was I went to the London Museum. And I'd say to my clients, I'm running a workshop. Here's the address. And they'd say, it's at the museum. And I'd say, yeah. And it would be in the cafe at the museum. And three people might turn up, two people. But you learn a lot just by doing stuff. And so you run an event. 6 hours of content, you get four people to turn up. You will learn so much about what works and what doesn't work rather than going, it's got to be perfect.
Yeah.
Just lean in and try it. And Charlie, you know, the power of writing an email to someone, say, I want to be an astronaut. How do I do that? Tell me what needs to happen. Yeah. Ask. If you don't ask, the answer is always going to be no. You can predict the answer will be no. And then you go, I should have. I should have written an essay.
Because, at the point, like, what I'm trying to say is Charlie's still pretty young. So, technically, he still has a lot of time to really get some momentum going before he gets too old, you know, where he kind of has to do other stuff, if you know what I mean.
How old's too old, Ivan?
Yeah, that's the question. Technically, you could...
I mean, you've seen lots of good examples, people in their 60s, 70s, and 80s who take up weightlifting.
Yeah.
And with good success.
Yeah. Too old, mate, is a state of mind.
Yeah.
You know, too old is just, it's a chronological thing, right? If I believe that, mate, I wouldn't have worked out for a year. You know, and my life changed just through the health bit, right? Just doing something. And I wasn't doing anything radical, but my body just changed rapidly. My energy levels changed rapidly, right? And I got a personal trainer who gave me some basic stuff. But for me, I got into shape rapidly and it shocked me how quick it was. 6 weeks and I was looking different. Dropped a lot of weight and I was looking really different, right? So you know, it's a great industry. You're never too old to try anything. I just encourage people, anyone watching this, you know, if you say, oh, I should wait till this, that's that self-talk. You're having an argument with yourself, and that's very, very powerful. Let me just flip this around and we'll finish this up. Ivan, if I said, you're not allowed to do this, okay? And you're not allowed to be an astronaut, and you're not allowed to do this body training thing. Not allowed to, sorry. What would you think?
Wait a minute.
So you're not allowed to. You can't do it. You're too young. You're not allowed to.
Then
sorry.
Different mindset. And it's like, I do want to. Yes, I do.
Yeah. You see? See, that's the argument. Now, if I was telling you, you'd tell me to jam it.
Yeah.
Right? But this is what's going on. This is the power of this self-talk. It's the same, only it's just inside your head rather than outside. Turn the volume down on it. It's most often, it's there might be some truth to it. I don't know. If you're going to succeed or not, let's find out.
Yeah, and for people who have listened to this, wherever you might be in the world, if you have taken on the £250,000 idea and done something with it, please let us and Andrew know, because there's nothing more encouraging than just hearing success stories or people we met in life who've taken up a tiny idea and ran with it. It's the lifeblood of us giving more.
And on a serious side, if you actually do it, to take up one of those challenges, you make a lot of money out of it, give 10% to a charity. Pick a charity and give some money to a charity. Okay, there's some great charities. I favour children's charities because they need it right now, right? Yeah. But, you know, there's a lot of great charities out there. I'm a big fan of the Salvation Army. I'm a big fan of crisis, homeless people. There's a lot of great charities. Pick one that's close to your heart. If you succeed, if you do well, do good.
Love it, for sure.
Thank you for being on the podcast.
Thank you for having me, man. Thank you. Yeah. Charlie, short and sweet punch. I want to be an astronaut. See, there's no. It's already weighted down. You know, it's a really trimmed down argument.
Yeah.
What part of that don't you get?
Good
stuff, man. Good stuff.
Yeah. So for the listeners out there who've been with us all the way to the very end, I'm sure you will take up quite a few more ideas from this. Feel free to check out the show notes, where they also highlight some of the key things.
Yeah.
This has been the podcast Invest in You. Last words from Charlie.
Longest episode ever, maybe. Amazing.
Most valuable.
Content through the roof, all through the podcast. Amazing episode.
One thing is not limiting yourself and practically breaking down what you need to do to get to somewhere. Because I do that with my training already, so I'm used to that. But when it comes to making money, I'm not as good. So it's about, like you did with the course, breaking it down, like this many dollars, this many people, how do I do that?
Yeah. And Ivan, you've only got to be one week ahead of your audience.
Did you get what it means?
Technically.
Right. So one last thought or idea from Andrew, please.
One last thought. I mean, I'm going to go really highfalutin here. Enjoy life, you know, like life goes according to the way you want it and the way you imagine it. You know, figure out your values, live a clean life, those sort of things are all good stuff. But, you know, like enjoy your life. You know, it's at the end of the day, it's about the people around you. So if I'm talking to entrepreneurs here, if you're doing it on your own, you're doing it wrong.
Good. Thank you.
Bye-bye.